Know Your Constituency, the RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.
Hello, welcome to Know Your Constituency, the RTE Radio 1 podcast in which we're profiling all 43 Dáil constituencies over 43 separate episodes, giving you the essential stats on each one, the seats, the seat holders, the soon-to-be former seat holders, and all the background and the crack that we find in between. I'm Colm O'Mungine. I'm joined once again by RTE Radio's Barry Lenehan. He's here for all 43 episodes, and also with us is Cúin O'Sheridan, political correspondent with Radio na Gaeltachta. Right, ready for another episode?
Oh boy, oh boy. I want a one in store.
Okay, this one mightn't be a five-seater, but it's big in several ways. Always been the focus of national attention in terms of the way it breaks. It's Dublin Bay South. So, Barry, as always, get us up and running with the seats and the seat holders.
Well, four seats up for grabs here, as you say, Colm, and three incumbents putting their name on the ballot paper again. They're Chris Andrews of Sinn Féin, Jim O'Callaghan of Fianna Fáil, and Ivana Batchik of the Labour Party, who of course won her seat in a by-election. The other seat is currently held by the Green Party's Eamon Ryan, who's standing aside for this contest.
Cúin, no change in the number of seats, still a four-seater. In terms of the boundary, what are the changes and how will that affect the constituency?
A minimal change here. The Kimmage C ward has been moved into Dublin South Central. There's about 3,700 people living there. Looking at the numbers from the last local elections there, the parties were fairly evenly balanced. So maybe a few Sinn Féin votes gone, but it's not going to make a big difference in the end of the day.
Cúin, we talk about the issues and the demographics in each of the 43 constituencies. Will we call this one Leafy Dublin Bay South? Is that an unfair generalisation?
Well, there are 23 electoral divisions here which are classified as affluent, five marginally above average and three which are marginally below average. So from that point of view, it does look like a very leafy constituency. But there's also the fact that 45.7% of households in this constituency are renting privately. That's over double the national average. So those voters, particularly in pockets around places like Rathmines, where as many as 61 or 64% of households are renting, that's going to make a big difference in certain areas, especially on transfers.
Okay, Barry, runners and riders, let's give our usual health warning here. This is at the time of recording. Nominations haven't closed. People could still come forward and be added to the ticket and may well be indeed in Dublin Bay South. A lot of speculation about that. And you'll be reappearing, obviously, Barry, later on with any news and updates once those nominations have closed and are finalised. But for now, where do you want to start in Dublin Bay South?
Well, let's start with the party that has no TDs here at present, but is very much eyeing up to, and that is Fine Gael. The party took 27.7% of the vote the last time, with then Housing Minister Owen Murphy clinging on to his seat, and then Fine Gael TD Kate O'Connell losing hers. Now, the party has in this race, first of all, Councillor James Gagan, the current Dublin North Mayor. It's thought that he will be the lead candidate for the party here and should take the first seat for Fine Gael. As I said, the current Lord Mayor had said that every group and every elderly group that's in the constituency has been in to visit the Mansion House. He's using the office to maximum gain to try and hold that seat. He of course ran in the Dublin Bay South by-election as well when he lost to Ivana Batchik, but did poll reasonably well with 26% of the vote, and that would of course give him a toe into this contest. Now, Fine Gael's bid to take two seats in a constituency which is part of its crown jewels that strategists have perhaps labelled it as is complicated by the fact that the former TD Kate O'Connell is now running as an independent here. She's Gagan is based around Pembroke. She's based around she would take in votes from Terenure and Rathmines, but she's running as an independent, saying she turned down a place on the party's ticket in Dublin Bay South before she resigned because she didn't want to be a sweeper for Gagan. Now, Fine Gael completely scotched that, saying she wasn't asked to run for the party. But it's worth pointing out that around late September, early October, Fine Gael did carry out an extensive poll of this constituency with Kate O'Connell involved. So talking to other candidates, Miss O'Connell would be privy to the results of that poll. So she's not, you would imagine, running on a fool's errand. So something else perhaps is at play rather than just the numbers with regards O'Connell's would-be candidature for Fine Gael. It'll be interesting to see whether that might emerge on during the course of the campaign. Standing in her stead for Fine Gael is Emma Blaine. who's based very close to James Gagan, but says she grew up in Rathmines, from the Church of Ireland community editor of the Church of Ireland Gazette. She's been holding public meetings in the constituency to try and get her face out there. But going from zero to two, it's a tall task for Fine Gael, but if they're going to do it anywhere, they think they could do it here.
Coon, what are you looking at in this particular constituency? We have, once upon a time, the man who would be King, Jim O'Callaghan, and a man with leadership aspirations in Fianna Fáil. So they'll be looking to hold on to that seat. What will they need to do to defend it?
They'll need to do better than Emma Blane or Kate O'Connell on the first count, I think. This is an absolute cage fight, this constituency. In 2016, 374 votes separated the third elected candidate and the fourth elected candidate, and 326 votes separated the fourth and the fifth who was not elected. So 700 votes can be the difference between coming third and coming fifth in this constituency, and I expect to have a nail biter here, possible recounts if things get a little bit testy in the constituency. I think that Kate O'Connell's entry into the race has really put the cat among the pigeons here. If we assume that Kate O'Connell performs similarly to a Fine Gael candidate, that makes Emma Blane's chances of getting a seat look much weaker. If Kate O'Connell underperforms, she will still take votes away from Fine Gael, and I would then expect Emma Blane to be behind Jim O'Callaghan and Jim O'Callaghan to profit from
but
that.
But one must remember history here. The last big name to leave Fine Gael and run against the party was Lucinda Creighton in 2016, when she led Renewa, and she narrowly missed out on a seat on the day when Miss O'Connell actually was elected to the Dáil. What could bring O'Connell in is if there's a tied in favour of independence, but this doesn't really seem the constituency where that could happen.
Right, there is another name worth mentioning that also turned, a Fine Gael defector who ran in this particular constituency. He defected to the PDs. His name was Michael McDougall. So he is based in the constituency. He's been connected with the constituency. Could that affect things here, Barry?
Well, his son is also James Gagan's campaign manager. So perhaps it could. Look, if Michael McDougall were to enter, it would perhaps be a body blow to Jim O'Callaghan. You mentioned he was Fine Gael. If he were to enter, might he be a Trojan horse for Fine Gael headquarters in order to keep down O'Callaghan and allow the other two, Blane and Gagan, get the seats? But most people I talk to, I know Coon differs in this, would say he won't be in this race, but it's another layer of intrigue to an already Agatha Christie-style constituency.
All right, Coon, of course, you know, the Michael McDougall's family is no stranger to divisions within the family. His grandfather, Owen McNeill, one of his sons, was shot on a hillside in County Sligo during the Civil War. Could we see more of it here?
And famously, Owen McNeill called off the Easter Rising, or attempted to call off the Easter Rising, but I'm not sure that Michael McDougall will call off his candidacy in this race. And it's a dangerous game, though, trying to play a very smart strategy in this constituency, because the margins are so razor thin. Turnout is everything here. You need to have 4,500 to 5,000 votes to be competitive. You need to have that on the first count. And if you split that between the two Fine Gael candidates, Kate O'Connell and Michael McDougall, then everything becomes wide open.
But speculation. This is at the time of recording.
So if we walk back from the speculation, one of the real battles here is between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Fine Gael are targeting Jim O'Callaghan. I think they'll make no bones about saying that. They say that they would argue that Dublin Bay South elects ministers, and Mr. O'Callaghan didn't take up the offer of a ministry. But Jim O'Callaghan would argue, and his camp would argue, that they're much more ensconced in this constituency, that they take votes from all over. And really, talking to Fianna Fáil strategists, they believe they've been handed a golden opportunity here with the candidature of Kate O'Connell. They weren't expecting the splintering of the Fine Gael vote. And O'Callaghan, it's worth pointing out, he's always written off going into these elections in this contest. He actually increased his vote the last time in 2016 up to 13.8%. And he does get loany votes from Fine Gael as well. So he's dangerous to underestimate, but it's a real cage fight on that side of this constituency.
Let's stay with the theme of defections and look at Sinn Féin's prospects, Coon, because once upon a time, the sitting deputy for Sinn Féin, Chris Andrews, was a member of Fianna Fáil. Was he helped by personal Andrews votes from the Fianna Fáil gene pool and tagging on some other Sinn Féin votes? And will he be able to retain that broad coalition going into this election?
I think that Chris Andrews was greatly helped by the Sinn Féin bubble the last time out, or the Sinn Féin wave the last time out. His vote increased from 3,774 first preferences in 2016 to 6,361 first preferences in 2020, and that put him then in very strong contention for the second seat. I don't see that happening this time out. I think that Chris Andrews' vote will be much weaker on the first count. The areas where he was traditionally strong have seen large or high levels of right-wing activity in the last few months. There's a very high prospect of defections there. And remember, actually, all that Chris Andrews needs to lose is maybe 1,500 first preference votes, and that puts him out of contention for a seat here. Sinn Féin's performance in this constituency in the local elections was very, very poor. They came in sixth place, 2,222 votes, and that puts them well out of contention, I think.
Yeah, I think Chris Andrews is in grave jeopardy here, even though he has that reputation for topping the poll here before. You look at where he is strong, it's the core working class communities of Ringsend, Irishtown and the inner city flats. But it is some of those areas nationally that have turned against Sinn Féin over the immigration issues. Now, he's a very hard worker, Chris Andrews, locally, a big reputation for that. But with the redraw as well, he loses 262 votes. Every vote precious for him. It's hard on the current evidence to see him getting the 16% he got the last time. So he'll drop down to the chasing pack where there are a lot of wolves there looking to take him out.
Let's look at the Labour Party, because Ivana Bacic has been trying to get into the Dáil in a number of constituencies over many years. She's now the sitting deputy for Dublin Bay South, having been elected in a by-election. But getting elected in a by-election on transfers from other opposition parties is very different to being elected in a general election. But for the Labour Party, this is a vital battle, Barry.
Big time. And you'll recall in that by-election that she was greatly helped by an opinion poll, which essentially characterised it as a two-horse race between James Gagan and herself, Ivana Bacic. And so all votes coalesced around the two, ultimately. The feeling locally is that Ivana Bacic, she won't like us saying this, may well be safe. Labour Party strategists would think that she might get in and around 15 or 16%, but she's going to have to work for it. Maybe her vote may not be a core Labour vote. She'll need a few loans from Fine Gael, perhaps like Jim O'Callaghan. But the feeling locally is that she might be safe, but maybe coming in around seat number three, a good key strategist told me.
Hazel Chu Coon, she is the nominee for the Green Party. Eamon Ryan not standing. She'd need to retain his votes, hold on to her personal vote. Again, she's another Green candidate that has not always agreed with party headquarters, which may not be to her disadvantage.
I believe so. And as a party, they came in second place here in the local elections, which shows that the organisation on the ground is still functioning very, very well. If she can retain a significant portion of Eamon Ryan's personal vote, that should really help her a lot. I think the Labour Party, it's a very mixed picture here. Ivana Bacic has a very strong personal vote. Their local election performance wasn't stellar. A lot of it had to do as well with the personal vote that their councillor Dermot Lacey has in Pembroke in South East. They did very, very poorly. They ran two candidates and they only got 861 votes. They didn't get anybody elected there. So Labour will have a lot of work to do to retain the seat, but obviously they would be favoured over the Greens to keep the seat here.
And apparently, I'm told a yarn by Labour that Hazel Chu knocked on a door of one of Ivana Bacic's team when canvassing this constituency, and her pitch was, Ivana Bacic is safe, why not vote for me instead? So the stories and spinning and counter-spinning going on against each other.
There is a Social Democrats candidate, Owen Hayes, in this constituency as well. Labour and the Greens would be hopeful that if he is eliminated, those votes will break their way. Coon?
Yes, that's something they definitely are hoping for. I think they're also looking at Kate O'Connell's vote and wondering what might happen to her transfers later on in the race. And will it be an anti-Fine Gael vote, a personal vote for Kate O'Connell that could transfer to other quote-unquote strong women in the constituency, albeit not of the same ideological background? Or is it a vote that will return home to Fine Gael in the heat of the hunt?
I think as well on the Green Party, the term was used that some of Eamon Ryan's votes might have been quote-unquote blue shirts on bike. likes that they would have come from the Fine Gael family rather than being a core Green voter might be personal to Eamon Ryan. So Hazel Chew would probably see a drop off on the 22% that the Greens got here the last time. But whether that drop off is fatal or not, that's the conundrum that we all have to work out.
All right, let's clear away the number soup that we've put on the table in terms of the crunching of local election results and provide some speculative clarity to the listener with all the health warnings that come with that at the time of recording, with nominations not closed and with a campaign not even started. Cuan, do you want to go first? How's this going to fall?
I think the candidacy of Kate O'Connell, whether it emerges as a strong challenge or a weak challenge, will damage Fine Gael. I think with Emma Blane being a first-time candidate, that weakens their chances of the second seat. They should still get the second seat, though, based on the numbers we have here. So I think that it'll be two Fine Gael, one Fianna Fáil, and I think either Ivana Bacic or Hazel Chew for the last seat. But if Kate O'Connell performs strongly but doesn't make it through, then I think Hazel Chew and Ivana Bacic will make it in the end.
Barry?
I think there was a story told to me of James Gagan canvassing in that by-election when somebody was putting in their shopping. They said, you're a zero, but you're our zero, was what the woman said to him. But since then, he seems to, party people say, have grown, and he's likely to be their hero here anyway and claim back the seat for Fine Gael. Perhaps some issues about whether he might get a floating voter and he could be stuck off the quota for quite some time. But that is one seat down. I do think Ivana Bacic looks rather secure as the Labour Party leader, and she will take one of the seats. We're then down to two remaining seats. Look, if it was the ticket was James Gagan and Kate O'Connell, I think I would say with some degree of certainty Fine Gael would take two seats. If they're on 27% nationally, then they'd be up around the mid-30s in this constituency. As I said, one of their key ones, that would be enough for two seats. But Gagan and Blane are on top of each other geographically. They have no incumbency advantage. And Kate O'Connell, you just wonder how much of their vote might be eroded back because of that. And Jim O'Callaghan as well looks a sturdy enough operator. It's very, very hard to call.
One Fine Gael, one Bacic,
maybe Jim O'Callaghan. And I do think Chris Andrews is likely to lose out. You couldn't rule out Coon's verdict there, what he had said, but generally what they think is it's two left and two sort of right in this constituency. So I think I've gone enough of a roundabout to avoid calling it entirely.
I called it, Barry.
Sorry, you agree with him.
O'Callaghan, Bacic, Gagan and Chew.
All right, we'll leave it there for this one. Barry, you're going to be back with us for an update after the nominations do actually close. We might give you another chance to call it again. Our thanks to Cormac Burke for all his research. Dave Gibson was on sound and our producer was Kieran Dunn. Remember to tune into RT Radio 1 on Results Weekend. There'll be new info coming in across the weekend, also on RT Television and on our digital platforms for full coverage of all 43 constituencies.
Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.